You know that song says, step by step I will follow you all of my days. Step by step I will praise you all of my days. And that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? But we know it's not. It's a hard thing to do sometimes. But before we get into the message, I have my Sunday humor. And it's about these four men who are waiting in the lobby because of COVID. They're waiting in the lobby while their wives are in labor. So the nurse comes out, walks out, and says to the first father, congratulations, your wife just had twins. And the father says, wow, that's funny. I work for the Minnesota Twins. A little later, the nurse comes back again to the second father. And he says, congratulations, your wife had triplets. And the father replies, wow, that's really weird. I work for 3M. Shortly after that, the nurse comes back again and tells the third father that his wife had quadruplets. And the father replies, whoa, is that weird? I work for Four Seasons. Finally, the nurse comes out and walks up to the fourth father. And she walks up to the father, and he looks really distraught. And he's really, really, as you clearly can see, upset. He's shaking. He's so upset. The nurse, before she says anything to him about the good news, she goes, what's wrong? And the father says, I work for 7-Up. So it builds and builds and builds, doesn't it? Okay, and as I said, you know, this song, Step by Step, and I want to thank Marlene for her gift this morning, and when she picked this one, I go, whoa, this is absolutely perfect. Because, again, that song makes it kind of sound like it's fairly easy to step by step watch, you know, follow the Lord. But it is not. It's hard. There's days where it's easy, but there's days when it gets a little tough. So, have any one of us thought or said, give me patience, Lord, but hurry up? Have we thought it? Sure we have. So the title of the message today is, It's in the Waiting. It's in the Waiting. And it's in the waiting that we learn to grow in the area of trusting God. It's those step by step. And trusting in God, instead of focusing on, God, would you please answer my prayer? Okay? So if you are missing that joy or that peace, or you're feeling so totally just worn out, totally worn out, maybe you need to rethink it and say, am I really trusting God in this? Am I really trusting God in this situation? You know, like this morning on my way here, you know, realizing that my son is in Florida's dealings with things, I prayed all the way here. I just kept praying in the Spirit all the way here. I didn't want to think, you know, Satan likes to try to throw these bad thoughts at you. You know, this is what could be wrong. This is what could be happening. This is what might go on. You know, he wants to throw those thoughts at you. The first thing I do to block those thoughts is I just start praising the Lord and saying, Lord, I know you got this under control. Lord, I know you're going to take care of this. I know you're faithful. I've looked in the past and I've seen what you've done for me before. I'm not going to allow fear to come in and set in and bring doubt and frustration and anger and all those bad things. So what I like to do is just pray instead of worry. You know, worship instead of worry. So again, we need to step back and say, okay, if I'm not feeling this peace, if I'm not feeling a joy, or my body is just so physically wore out, I need to question and say, okay, where am I at spiritually? Where am I at? So we have to realize that the God who is the God who knows all things, sees all things, can do all things, is the one that we need to go to. And that is the God that's going to, as I said in my opening prayer, is the one that's going to give us that revelation knowledge. Again, it goes back to, I got that revelation knowledge this morning in the car on the way here that I'm not going to let those thoughts get in my head. I got the revelation knowledge to do what? Pray and to worship God. So if we don't, what's going to happen is we're going to go by our head knowledge. And when we go by our head knowledge, what happens? Reasoning comes in. And when reasoning comes in, It brings in doubt, it brings fear, it brings frustration, it brings anxiety, and it brings worry. So which would we rather have? We would rather have the revelation knowledge, right? So when we're waiting on God to answer our prayers, our timing and God's timing rarely are the same. Can we say amen to that? Right, because our timing and God's timing are rarely going to be the same. In fact, there's times when we think God is in a totally different time zone than we are. Is that right? So, in Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, many are the plans in a man's heart. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Waiting, it's time, is a time where our hearts get in line with God's heart. That's the waiting time. And during that waiting time, are we going to connect with what God is saying, or are we going to want to do it our way? And the longer we do it our way, then the longer we're going to be in that waiting time. Because, like the scripture says here, it says the Lord's purpose will prevail. So it's up to us whether we're going to do it his way or our way. So when we go before God and say, I cannot figure this out on my own, I don't know what direction that you would have me go in this situation, what you're doing when you do that is you're just putting it at his feet and you're saying, I can't do this. I can't. This is something, you know, I need wisdom on it. I need the revelation knowledge of it. When you use the revelation knowledge instead of your head knowledge, what happens then, instead of being stressed, you're blessed. Trusting God often requires not knowing the hows, the whens, the whys, or the wheres. In the waiting on God, it's a time where God stretches our faith. And don't we hate that? Don't we hate that time of waiting, because now our faith is going to get stretched to the limits? You know, I talk about our faith being here, but God wants our faith up here, because where he's got his plan and purpose for us, that's the faith where our faith level is going to have to be. It can't be here anymore. So what he does is he brings a situation along and he starts stretching that faith so it's up to this level where he needs your faith level to be, so that he can use you where you're at. Because if you're down here and that faith level isn't going to be enough for where he wants you to be up here, you're going to fail. You'll fail. So what he tries to do is stretch that faith and bring it up here. Well, how does faith get stretched? By what? Trials and tribulations and trusting God in it. That's a time when we grow. So many people want to change. They want a change in their life. They get in a situation where they feel stagnant. They don't feel like they're growing. And they want to change. But they don't like the waiting that it takes to get from this particular level to that particular level. And again, that time variance, it's like the Israelites, they could have been there in days in the promised land. It took them 40 years. Why is that? Because their faith level, they wanted to keep it here. How many times did they say to Moses, let's go back to Egypt. At least we could, you know, get fed. And, at least, you know, yeah, sure, we got whipped a few times. But still, we got fed. We got fed on a daily basis. We had a roof over our heads. You know, they murmured. Was that faith? Absolutely not. So because their faith, they refused to allow their faith to stretch up to this level, they stayed where they were at. How many of us want to move on? And if it means stretching our faith, that means we have to trust God. The truth is, waiting is a given. We are all going to go through it. I don't think there's not one person in this room that can say, I didn't have to wait on anything. All of us had to wait on something. The question is today, do we want to wait in the wrong way, or do we want to wait in the right way? If we wait in the wrong way, we are going to totally be miserable. We'll be miserable emotionally, mentally, spiritually, maybe financially. We will be miserable in one of them or all of them. But if we wait on God's way, we can become patient and enjoy the wait. And you say, how can you be enjoy the wait or enjoy the journey? But it takes practice. Every one of us hate that. You know, Alice, did your girls play piano? Did your girls play piano? Okay. Who? Any of your kids in your house play piano? Any of you? Okay. All right. My daughter has one that plays a piano, and she does very well at it. But I remember how many times my daughter would say, get in there and practice. I didn't pay the lesson for those lessons for nothing. Get in there and practice. Get in there and practice. Well, my daughter does a very good job now, but the mother had to sit there and get in there and practice. Get in there and practice. She didn't want to practice, but now she's glad that she did and that mom made her practice. And that's the thing what God is saying. I'm sorry, but you got to practice. In order to get up here where that faith level is, guess what you get to do? You get to practice patience. Patience. The more we allow God to help us in our everyday situations, we develop patience. Patience is one of the most important Christian virtues. We all know that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is only developed through what? Trials. And there are benefits to waiting. It says in James chapter 1, but let the endurance, patience, steadfastness, patience, and patience, waiting, have full play and do a thorough work. Make it happen, in other words. Do a thorough work so that you may be perfectly, fully developed, lacking in nothing. When you get to that stage where when you're going through something and you are walking in peace and you know God's got this, do you want anything? Do you want for anything? When you're in that kind of, when you're in that place where you're so comfortable and just praising God that he's got this covered and you're going to trust him in it, there's nothing that you want. And in order for us to progress in our relationship with God or mature in the things of God, there is going to be change. There's going to be change. Do you think the Israelites liked the fact that they were leaving Egypt? Oh, yeah, they wanted their freedom. But was it at the cost of being a little uncomfortable for a while? Yeah, they were excited when they left Egypt. And they were, I mean, they were, the Egyptians were throwing money at them. Get out of here. We don't want you. You put a plague on us. We want you out of here. We'll pay anything. Get you out of here. We want you gone. So the Israelites were pretty happy about going. But then things got a little uncomfortable. And so they didn't like that change. You know, at least in Egypt, like I said, they were getting fed. So the changes will help us, though, be rooted and more well-grounded. And again, we mature in the things of God. And then it says here, and trust God as we go through the experiences that require truth or trusting him, requiring truth and trust in him while we wait. And then I love this part. It goes, as we see God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And sometimes when we're going through things, that's what we have to do. We have to remind ourselves of what he's already done in our lives to reassure us, reinforce, and to encourage us and make us realize, well, he's done it once. He's the God that never changes. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did for me back then, he's going to do it, you know, maybe a different way and maybe a different time, but he's still going to do it. He's still going to come through. He did the last time. He'll do it this time. So we have to really begin to trust him. And the more we see the times where he's helped us, then we stop leaning on ourselves and our own abilities, and we begin to trust him more instead of ourselves. While we're waiting, again, we look back at the times that God helped us through it. But guess what? It's in the timing and trust. Those two things work side by side each other. Timing and trust work side by side. But timing and trust in God only come by waiting. Timing and trust only come by waiting on God. God gives us hopes and fears. All of us have had dreams. You know, some of us here, you know, we grew up women, you know, all we want to do is find the right man. Not necessarily the man on the white horse, kind of, you know, the prince, you know, whatever. But the right man, who's going to be good to me, who's going to want a family, who's going to love his children, who's going to work hard, you know. To a man, I want a good job that's going to support my family, a good, something that's consistent, you know. You have these dreams and these hopes, and God wants them to happen. And but he'll do it in a way that his way will prevail. And some people like to take the shortcut. You know, there's some people that think, oh, I can make big money going and doing this. And they do it for years and years and years and years, and there's no success at it. In fact, they're more in poverty because they're trying to make this plan work. And then as it turns out, after 15, 20 years, and I'm speaking as somebody in my mind as I'm thinking this, but this person, you know, for years and years did it their way. And then when they stepped back and said, okay, this just ain't going to work. It's not going to help me. It's not helping my family. We're practically in poverty. This is just not going to work. And finally, when he stepped back and he said, okay, Mom, this was my son. Mom, pray. I need to know what God wants. It wasn't a week later, the door opened up, and he's making more money than he ever made in his life. But he had to go to God with it. And he is so happy. And he's moved up the ladder where he's at so fast, it's just mind-boggling. And he even said to me the other day, Mom, I know this is a God thing, because there's no way this could happen otherwise. So I know that if we just get our minds made up, get that revelation knowledge that when we do it God's way, we're going to get there, and we're going to enjoy the ride. We're going to enjoy the journey while we're getting there. So because if we know how long it took, in other words, if we sometimes, you know, if we say, God, why don't you tell me where you want me in 10 years? Or, better yet, let's just do it this way. God, this is what I want to do. Can you show me if that's where I'm going to be? Well, God might show you that, but do you want to ask him how long it's going to get you there? It might take 7 years. It might take 15 years. And you might ask God that question, and you say, well, God, why aren't you telling me that? Or, God, I want to be in ministry, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Sometimes we have to, in a situation like that, we have to trust God in the timing, because God's saying, I'm going to get you there, but it's going to be down the road. It's going to be 10 years from now. It's not going to be a year from now. Because if we knew the timing, we'd say, forget you. I'll do it my own way. I'll do it my own time. I want that, and I want it now. And if, unfortunately, because of the society that we're in now, fast foods, fast this, fast that, technology, fast communications, all these many things, we want things now. And God is not, you know, thank goodness he's slow to anger, but we say he's slow in a lot of things. But that's not the case. And as I go on, I'm going to explain that waiting, there's many benefits to it, and one of them is sometimes if we get ahead of God, what's going to happen? We might be putting ourselves in danger, or we might get ahead of God in a situation, and we end up botching it all up because we got ahead of God with it. So another benefit of waiting on God, it says, but if we accept God's timing, we learn to live in hope. That's a benefit. And enjoy the journey, as I said. That's a benefit along the way. See, in Jeremiah, and I've said this, this is one of my favorite scriptures, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. Those are benefits. But also, this scripture is promising us that he has a plan for us. He says it right here, declares the Lord. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I want to prosper you, not just financially. I want to prosper you in your spiritual growth. I want to prosper you in your relationship with me. I want to prosper you with everything you put your hand to. I want you to prosper. But in order for you to do it, there are some guidelines. And that's okay. So, the Lord's plan, he says, I want you to prosper and not to harm you, but a hope and a future. So as we trust in God's promise, we can experience what? Peace, and happiness as well. Doesn't happiness and peace come with prospering? So that's another benefit. And again, we don't want to get ahead of God. It could be harmful not only to you, but maybe to your family if we get ahead of ourselves. So let's go touch a couple of examples this morning on those that waited. Joseph. Joseph, who waited many years for the fulfillment of a dream. He had been given a dream that his brothers at one time were going to bow down before him. Well, that set off a spark with his brothers and some jealousy, and they just hated him. What did they do? They sold him. They sold him as a slave to Egypt. He was 17 years old when this happened, when they sold him. Okay? In the meantime, he ends up being falsely accused of something and ends up in prison. And he goes through so much waiting. But not only waiting, he goes through so much discomfort, so much despair. In that time, though, he trusts and he waits on God for the fulfillment of that dream. And do you know how old he was when, of course, his brothers, his family, his father were in a different location than Egypt, and it was a famine, and the family ended up coming to Egypt. And here Joseph ends up, through different circumstances, ends up being the second most important person in Egypt underneath Pharaoh. So, because he knew the famine was coming, that was part of the dream that he experienced, he shares it with Pharaoh, and they end up stockpiling the food, and then people from other areas came in, and sure enough, here comes Joseph's brothers, because they were running out of food. And what happens? They end up coming, and now it's what? Here it says he was 41 years old. Well, there's what, over 20-some years. So by the time they saw Joseph again, which they thought he was dead, so when they saw him again, they didn't recognize him. So when they came in, and Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know him. But the first thing they did was they came in bowing down like this because, well, there you go. There's that fulfillment of that dream. He knew that God had a plan. Now, if God would have told Joseph, you're going to go through all this stuff, but in the end, you're going to see them bow down before you. But, you know, would he have walked away? Probably not Joseph. But maybe someone else would have if they'd have known the whole picture. That's why God doesn't show us the whole picture of, you know, now and 20 years down the road. He doesn't show us the picture because he's thinking they'll walk away. They won't deal with this. But if I give them little tidbits, then they're going to, and they trust in me, I will get them from A to B. And that's exactly what he did with Joseph. He was 41 years of age when the brothers came back the second time with Jacob to bring him in, you know, to move there. Joseph was 41 years old, from 17 to 41 years old. That's a big waiting period. Now, in Exodus, we know it took 40 years, where otherwise it would have just taken days. But the Israelites, God decided to take them the longer and the harder way around. Remember when I talked about sometimes God does these things because he's keeping us safe? He wants to keep us safe. Well, they were out for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. Well, when they finally did get to the promised land, what did they see? Giants in the land. But during that 40-year time, that 40-year span, of course, some of the Israelites got weeded out because their heart wasn't on God at all. I mean, at all. They wanted, you know, eventually their own kingdom, some of them. And God got rid of them. But the thing is this, God brought them through, and he made a way, and even during their time of doubt, he never failed them. He was always with them. But in that time, their faith level, like I said, was down here, and there was a training period, a time of growing, a time of training, so that when they came to the land of the promised land, where the land of the giants were, they were ready. Some of them still a little question. There's no way we can beat these giants. But Caleb said, yes, you can. Yes, we can. With God's help, we can do all things. So God's training time, or God's period, simply requires us to do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it. trying to figure things out or questioning it does not put us in that position of trusting and waiting on God. When we're asking questions and we're in doubt. So in Hebrews 6, it talks about, it says, then Abraham, waiting patiently, he received what God had promised. So God had promised what? He had promised Abraham an heir. And Sarah does finally, in her old age, she does finally have a child. But it wasn't but 25 years later, from that time that he was promised that child, it was 25 years later, she has Isaac. And then in Genesis 21, it says, Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. He trusted God to keep his promise. But he waited 25 years. And yes, during that time, there was a wrong choice that was made. But God still came through. Another one, Job, James 5:11 says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. In all Job endured, he trusted and waited on God. And what did God do? Even though he lost his family, even though he lost all of his possessions, through his trusting and waiting on God, God gave him double for his trouble. Gave him double for his trouble. And then again, and I've shared this before, but David, who was appointed king in the first book of Samuel, he was anointed at the age of 15, did not become king until he was the age of 30. But in that 15-year span that he waited on that promise that he knew God had anointed him king, he was being chased down by Saul because Saul was jealous of him. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s, which set off a spark, and Saul got jealous and was after David, wanted him dead. And there was times when David could have killed Saul, but did not, and said, I will not kill God's anointed. When you say that, when you know this man would just as soon kill you than look at you, and yet he still said, I will not kill God's anointed. Isn't that saying I'm going to do it God's way, not my way? Because he had a plan. I mean, right then in that cave, he could have killed him. He could have finished Saul off, but he didn't. So he did it God's way, not his own way. And David was king for 40 years after that. So God honored his time of waiting on him. Lastly, Jesus, he began when he waited on his earthly ministry. He was 30 years old before his earthly ministry started. The following 3 years were filled with living alongside his disciples to prepare them for when he would no longer be with them. So in that ministry time of ministering to the lost, he was training, he was teaching, he was helping the disciples, their faith level that was here, being brought up to here. And it took a time of waiting, a time of teaching, a time of growing. So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What we need to realize is, when we think that we're waiting on God, but in all actuality, God is waiting on you to get your faith level up here, where he can use you, where he wants you. And when we get that revelation knowledge that I shouldn't be waiting on God. God's waiting on me. So what, God, do you want me to do? Show me what it is that you need me to do so I can be at the level where you can use me where you want me. When you get that revelation knowledge, those doors are going to open up like you never, ever thought possible. Now, the benefits of waiting on God. Well, as I said, endurance. And with that comes strength revelation knowledge and the wisdom of God. And while waiting, another benefit is the Lord is preparing us, just like I said, preparing us for that promise. And God prepared, like he prepared Joseph and David, the Israelites and Abraham, so that they could do the work that he had for them. In waiting, God protects us from danger, because if we get ahead of God, what's going to happen? It's going to throw the whole thing off. You might botch it to the point where, you know, God might have a different plan. I'll have to take you a different route. A good example of that is an alcoholic or a drug addict. God might want you, yeah, you've went through that, but maybe he wants to use that test that you went through, that insecurity, that dependency, he wants you to use that as a tool to bring others to that are living that same lifestyle, that are living in that torment. You can say, I overcame it, and I will help you. Just like Jesus walked with the disciples for 3 years and, you know, showed them the way. You, a person who once was dependent on drugs or alcohol, you can help that person, lift them up to the faith level where God wants them to be. But if you're not there, if you're not where God wants you to be, and you take the low road, then that person that needed you, so there, again, if you don't get where God's at, or you get ahead of God, you're going to miss where God wants you to come along and help that other person. Okay? Or, I know God doesn't want me to do this. I know this is what he wants me to do. Double check that. Make sure that that's what it is. Because God has a plan, and it will take place. So, another thing in waiting, we learn more about God's character and God's love, God's patience, God's mercy, and God's understanding. And in the waiting, we can rest. That's a time when, while we're waiting on God, we can rest in him. It says in Isaiah 40, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. How can you renew your strength? While you're resting. Renew your strength, so therefore you can mount up on wings like eagles, and you shall run and not go weary, and walk and not faint. So, how do we wait? Well, I'm just going to say it this way. All of us maybe at one time have seen the movie Fireproof. Fireproof was a story that talks about a young couple who, through their jobs, hers was important, his was, they both were very important jobs, but it pulled the couple apart, further and further and further apart. And to the point where she was being tempted, she worked in the medical field, and she was being tempted by this doctor who was flirting with her, and she was to the point where she wasn't, you know. But yet, another reason why it was pulling them apart is because he was a fireman. And when he came home, he did nothing to help around the house, absolutely nothing. He felt it was the man who didn't have to do any girly stuff at home. So, you know, it was a woman's job to take care of the house. And that did not set well with her, which between that and the fact that, you know, their jobs pulled them apart, their relationship became further and further and further apart. So, but in the story, the husband, his parents were Christians, and he finally realizes through, you know, just very light tuggings of the father, because he had a bitterness with his mother, thinking that there was an affair that was going on with his mother and father, that his mother cheated. And as it turns out, through his relationship with his dad, because he, you know, he's, dad, I don't know what to do. I think she's going to file for a divorce. I don't know what to do. He starts ministering to his son. And in the end of the story, he realizes that it wasn't his mother that was going to cheat. It was the father who was doing the cheating, or was going to cheat. And so he has to go then tell his mother, I am sorry. I mean, he put a wall between himself and his mother because of that. And his mother, you know, just let him believe what he wanted to believe, because, you know, I don't know where the misunderstanding was. But he finally figured it out. But in that time of fellowshipping with his father, he grew to depend on God. And this song, it shows that he starts helping more around the house. He starts buying her flowers. He starts doing the right things to help this relation, to nurture this relationship back to health again. He does the right things that he should have been doing before. And then he finally gets her attention. And the things, they start, you know, maybe working things out. But, you know, at times the song plays, and I'm not going to play the song, but I'm going to tell the words of the song. And there's times where he tries so hard to do something to please her, and she just shuts him out. She just shuts him out. And this is what the song says. It says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I am hopeful. I am peaceful. I'm waiting on you, Lord, though it's painful and it's not easy. But patiently, Lord, I will wait. I will move ahead bold and confident, and I will take every step in obedience while I'm waiting. While I'm waiting, I will serve you. I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship you while I'm waiting. I will not faint even while I'm waiting. I'll be running the race even while I wait. And that is the answer to how do we wait. You praise God in the waiting. You serve God in the waiting. And you say, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to move on. I'm going to trust you, God. This is how we wait. So when you're doing this, you are showing God through revelation knowledge, not head knowledge, but through revelation knowledge, that you're going to trust him in it, because it's in the waiting. It's in the waiting that you'll see God's hand move. When you're about the Father's business, he is going to be about your business. Amen? When you're about the Father's business, he is going to be about your business. When you're praising and worshiping and serving God, it makes waiting so much, much more peaceful, fulfilling, and joyful. Amen? Amen. Amen.